invite you to turn in the Word of God to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. This is God's word. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed and fruit trees bearing fruit in which there is seed, each according to its kind on the earth." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which there is seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser night to rule the night, and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth, across the expanse of the heavens." So God created the great creatures, sea creatures, and every living creature that moves with which the waters swarm, according to their kinds, and every bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters of the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their kinds." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps in the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps in the earth, everything that has breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw that everything he made, had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. May God bless to us the reading of how he created the heavens and the earth and all things in them. Read together from the Psalm 107, please. Psalm 107. This is God's word. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble, and gathered in from the lands and from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men, for he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So he bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men. For he shatters the doors of bronze and cuts in two the bars of iron. Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquity suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the city, the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men. And let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his deeds and songs of joy. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep. For he commanded and raised stormy wind. which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to the heavens, they went down to the depths, their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turns rivers into a desert, springs of water into thirsty ground, a fruitful land into salty waste because of the evil of its inhabitants. He turns a desert into pools of water, a parched land into springs of water. And there he lets the hungry dwell and they establish a city to live in. They sow fields and plant vineyards and get a fruitful yield. By his blessing they multiply greatly, and he does not let their livestock diminish. When they are diminished and brought low through oppression, evil, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and makes them wander in trackless wastes. But he raises up the needy out of affliction and makes their families like flocks. The upright see it and are glad, and all the wickedness shuts its mouth. Whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. Let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord. Amen. In our consideration of who God is, for the reason of knowing God, that we might know ourselves and therefore live wise lives, we want this evening to turn to this truth concerning God, that he is good. Psalm 107, the first verse we read, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." The goodness of God, positively speaking, is an essential attribute of his character. The goodness of God is not a description solely of what God does. God is good in his essence. God is good in his being. God is good in his character. The goodness of God certainly manifests itself in God's dealings, as we shall see, in creation and redemption. But the goodness of God is who God is. It's a sad thing that we live at a time in the history of the world where the word good is so denuded of value. When you saw in the order of service the heading or the title "God is good," you probably thought, well, yeah, we know that. This is going to be really interesting. And you know the reason that's the case? Because the word good has been so denuded of its worth and value. We no longer understand what this term means. But this is a beautiful term. This is a lovely word. For this word is a word that speaks of the very essence of our God in heaven. He is good. He is good. He is good. It's a beautiful word. It's a lovely word. The first work of God that is revealed to man, the creation of the heavens and earth and everything in them, is described by God as nothing less than being good. That's the magnitude of this word. When God created the heavens and the earth, and he looked upon the heavens and the earth, what word did God, who gave every word of every language that has ever been spoken and shall be spoken, what word did the infinite, all-knowing creator of heaven and earth choose to describe what he had done? It's the word good. We read in Genesis chapter 1 how that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the earth. And then we read in the subsequent verses how God created all that exists today. On the first day, he created the light. He separated light from darkness. He called the light day, and the darkness he called night. On the next day, he said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And he created the heavens, and that earth, that then led to the creation of the earth. That was the second day. On the third day, he gathered the waters under the heavens together, and he drew the dry land into appearance. That dry land he called earth. And the waters he gathered together, and he called them seas. And then he made the vegetation and the plants and the trees. And he produced in those plants the seeds that would mean that they would then continue to produce further plants. The third day. And the fourth day, he created the lights in the expanse. We read the sun, the moon, and the stars. And he set them in the heavens to give light to the earth, to rule over the day and to rule over the night. And on the fifth day then, he filled the waters of the seas with teeming creatures. And he filled the heavens of the earth, the heavens, with birds. Every kind of sea creature and every kind of winged bird. That was the fifth day. On the sixth day, he created the creatures that filled the earth, the livestock and the creeping things, the beasts of the earth. And then the pinnacle of his creation, man made in his own image. Never lose sight of the fact that God created the heavens and earth and everything in them. Boys and girls, God created the heavens and the earth. God created the heavens and the earth. And everything that we see, God created. That's the truth. That's the truth. And if you ever want to talk to me about other ideas about how this world exists, my door is always open to you. It's always open. You come and ask me, and I will speak to you about it. This creation that God made, he says in verse 10 that it was good. It was good. He says in verse 12 that this creation, when he saw it, was good. He says in verse 18 that this creation of the lights larger and lesser, and the stars was good. He says in verse 21 concerning the creation of every winged bird and every creature that fills the seas that it was good. He says in verse 25 concerning the creation of the creatures on the earth that it was good. He says in verse 31 at the end of all creation, when he looks and beholds all that he sees, he saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Very good. God fulfilled the purpose which he had set out to fulfill. In his wisdom, he had an end in mind. That end was this. There was the existence of this world and all the galaxies of the heavens. God had in his mind from all eternity envisaged how each part of the whole of his creation would fit together and function. That's why when men and women go to various parts of the world and stand and observe the beauty of the creation, that is what they do. They stand and admire it. They stand, and the word that is often used is, they are awestruck. And the reason why they are awestruck is because this creation is the product of an almighty mind who with infinite wisdom decreed everything that would come together, and in his fulfillment of that, it was good. It's only when man intervenes, it's only when man breaks and brings disorder and chaos through his following after the one who is evil, that this beauty of God's creation is affected and soiled and spoiled. Beautiful creation. Majestic creation. Awe-inspiring creation. Things that leave us looking and thinking, isn't that just astonishing? And that is flowing from the mind, the heart, and the will of God and his wisdom. And his wisdom harnessed his power to bring this into existence. And the power of God's spoken word is that which bring it into existence. Verse 3, and God said, let there be light. We find that difficult to understand. How that simply there could be the seeing of something and how it would come into existence. Our world and our thinking and our processes are all based upon producing something, getting something, shaping something, designing something, using something else to create something and produce something. We use the term create in a sense to produce out of that which already exists. When God created the earth, he created out of nothing. We merely use that word because as image bearers of God, we have the mental capacity, unlike the animals who don't have that mental capacity, to actually produce something that is different. Produce something out of that which doesn't already exist. But all the things that man produces, all the things that man creates, they have all had a source. They have all come together through other things that have existed. They've come through technologies that have always been on the earth. It's just that man has not discovered it yet. The things that man is able to do now that he wasn't able to do 50 years ago, it's not because man suddenly has done those things out of nothing. Man has come to this point of being able to do what he's able to do today, whether it's in the medical field, whether it's in chemistry, whether it's in physics, whether it's going into space, whatever it is. All those things are the product of successive little steps along the way in order to harness the knowledge that existed. Someone has come in, they have picked up on that, someone else has come in, collaboration has taken place, and at the end of all those processes, something has been produced. God said, let there be, and there was. His power in the spoken word to create. But what motivated God? His wisdom saw the end. His wisdom decreed the means, the use of the spoken word. The power of the spoken word brought what God had envisaged into reality. But what? What in God gave God the desire to do it? What motivated him? What motivated him to create the heavens and the earth, all that we see, and to create us? It's his goodness. It's his goodness. That's why he says when he has done it, he looks at it and he delights in it and he says, this is good. This is good. This is very good. And we need to consider that. We need to consider the fact that this earth is the product of God's goodness. And that will help us to understand something of the goodness of God. But as we have seen in each of these attributes of God's being, they not only flow through creation, they flow through into redemption, because we all know that creation did not remain good because Adam took that which God had promised him and he denied the blessings of God's goodness in his life and he chose to rebel against God. He rejected the goodness of God. He rejected it. When you think about it, God required what of Adam? He required only obedience of Adam. That's all that God required of obedience of Adam. God gave Adam everything. He gave him a place to live. He gave him a wife. He gave him relationships. He gave him a task to perform. And the only thing that God required of him was obedience. In return for all that God gave to Adam, in return for Adam's obedience, God promised him prosperity and blessing and eternal life. What does that again speak of? It speaks of God's goodness. Because what God promised Adam is far in excess of what God demanded of Adam. God demanded just simple obedience. He demanded of Adam that he should not eat of this tree. Adam was given the full privileges of all that's in the garden, and that demonstrates to us the goodness of God. Adam rejected that goodness. He denied that goodness. He listened to the enemy of God and he chose for his own ends to pursue a course of action that he believed would make life better for him. Incredible as it seems, unbelievable when you read it, and yet that's what he chose to do. And God's goodness is not only seen in his creation, it's not only seen in the blessings that he gives to Adam and the promise that he gives to Adam, but then the goodness of God is seen in the salvation or the redemption that he gives to man. In Psalm 107, we read, O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. He is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. And then the psalmist gives four examples of God's goodness in redemption. He speaks, in the first place, in verse 4, those who are helpless because of their enemies and who are leading them into barrenness. Verse 4, Psalm 107. They are lost, they are wandering, they are hungry, they are thirsty. He speaks of the second occasion of God's goodness in verse 10. Those who, because of their sin, walk in the shadow of darkness. They have rebelled against God. Sorry, that's the third one. The second one is that God delivers them from darkness and the shadow of death. They have rebelled against God in his word, verse 11. The third one, verse 17, speaks of the fools who, because of their sinful ways and their iniquity, have fallen into a state of loathing. And the fourth one, he speaks about the sailors in the sea. But in each occasion, the wandering, the darkness, the sinful practices, the lostness at sea, the psalmist says that in each occasion, two things bind these groups of people together. First, they cry to the Lord in their trouble. And second, he delivers them from their distress. They cry to God in their trouble, and he delivers them in their distress. Why does God give deliverance to man? It's because he is good. Surely, the ultimate manifestation of the goodness of God is seen in the cross at Calvary. It's the goodness of God that sent his Son to earth. It's the goodness of God that required of his only Son obedience to the law during the duration of his life on earth. It's the goodness of God that required Jesus to think about and then lay down his life voluntarily as a sacrifice for sin. We look at the Lord Jesus and we're thankful to him for our salvation. We love the Lord Jesus for what he did in coming from heaven to earth, for what he did in living his life on earth without sin among sinners. We love the Lord Jesus for his dealings with men during his life on earth, how he cared for men and women. We love the Lord Jesus for the fact that he did not throw off the fullness of what God required him in taking up the cross. We love the Lord Jesus for the fact that when on the cross and crying out to the Father, my God, why have thou forsaken me? He didn't then decide and decree that he would come off the cross, or he didn't cry out to the heavenly host, come down. We love the Lord Jesus for the fact that he took the penalty that was due to us for our sin. But I say this, and I say it without diminishing anything of just of what I've said. It was the goodness of God that provided the mediator for us. It was the goodness of God that provided the mediator for us. One writer says that in giving his only Son as the Redeemer of God's elect, God gave the highest gift that it was possible for divine goodness to bestow. In the exaltation of Christ, the goodness of God is seen to us. When the Holy Spirit came to earth, he came because Jesus sent him upon his return to heaven. That's the goodness of God. The revealed word to our souls is the goodness of God. The preaching of the word of God in our hearing is a gift of the goodness of God. The oversight of the bride is a gift of the goodness of God. The fact that God gives man to lead his church is a gift of his goodness. The fact that Jesus is king and head of the church, bringing all things under his feet for the glory of the Father, is a gift of the goodness of God. We look and we think, well, what is God in terms of goodness? Or such a devalued word, such a denuded word, it has no authority, it has no sense. Good is just something that is mediocre. Good in relation to God is something that is absolutely astonishing. Absolutely astonishing. That which he created is good, because the one who created it is good. And who tells us that it is good? It is God who is good, who tells us that he looked at the earth and it is good. The redemption that we have when we cry out to God is good. Why is it good? Because God tells us it is good. Because he is good. And he has given us this new life that we should never have had. He has given us this ability to taste and see what? That God is good. Oh, taste and see that God is good. Who trusts in him is blessed. Fear God has since none that and trust shall be with one oppressed. Here is the truth of the goodness of our God. His goodness overflows in that it motivates the creation. His goodness overflows that it not only motivates the creation, when that goodness is trampled on by man's sin, then the goodness of God fulfills that eternal decree of redemption through the Son, his only Son. And how is the means of that realized? It's through the death of his only Son. There is the goodness of God. And the goodness of God pertains to us every single day of our lives. We receive because God is good. You will have food to go home to tonight because God is good. You have a home to go to because God is good. You have a life to get up to tomorrow if he gives it to you because he is good. You have a relationship with him because he is good. And that's what motivates his dealings with us. It's his goodness to us. Any wonder the psalmist calls on the people of God, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." It's because of this goodness of God that we can live on this earth. It's because of this goodness of God that we have this relationship with Jesus Christ and have the prospect of tasting and seeing God for all eternity. So when you read in the Word of God, God is good, don't just jump over it. Don't let's get on to something more exciting, something more stimulating, something that will engage us more, something more interesting. It's a sign of the sinfulness of our hearts that we don't comprehend the magnitude of what it means when it says God is good. And how will you taste and see that God is good if you don't have at least a smattering of understanding of what it means for God to be good? Why would you want to taste and see something if you think nothing of it? Our God is good. He created the heavens and the earth, and they were good. In fact, they were very good. And the redemption that he brings to those who cry to him is good. It is good. And we dwell in the light of his goodness every day of our lives. Let us thank him for that. Let us thank him for that. Amen.